They just want to be like famous and go viral. And it's like, and I get it to a point. Like when I started like getting a couple, like some good views and stuff, it was like that dopamine hit.
Sure, it's real.
Is real.
This morning I woke up and went to Facebook because I cross promoted on both. And I saw a comment and it said, love this. And the comment was from Ryan.
Sarant. That's amazing.
And he's the reason I got into the business. And I was blown away.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of trial and error. That's another thing people just don't get. It's like, I didn't just wake up one day and start getting like all these views and these followers and stuff like that.
Welcome to Estate Entrepreneurs and Expressos, or Triple E for short. I'm your host, Justin Conico. We've been running the Prime People podcast for a very, very long time. Now we are giving you the opportunity to actually get behind the scenes with our guests and see the world through their eyes. Our first guest is Matt Leonetti, who has gone viral many times over for his incredible comedic listing videos. He is a national speaker, a close friend, and in this episode, he actually shares a little bit about the story of the first video that actually went viral, who his inspiration was. He also shares insights about his team dynamics, how he's thinking about the real estate industry moving forward. He actually shares some things that would absolutely shock you, the concept of this video. Think comedians in cars drinking coffee, but think about entrepreneurs, estates, and then us drinking espressos. Had a lot of fun shooting this episode. It was the very first one, so I would absolutely love some feedback from you. Hit that subscribe button or jump in the comments and let us know what your thoughts were, who you think any future guests should be. And if you think this could be inspiring for anybody you know, all we ask is that you share it out. Enjoy the show. I think the exposure is interesting too, right? So like that was probably a big thing for that client to come in and have all of a sudden that much more reach on a property.
Yeah, exactly. And like we kind of can offer just so much more for each client now because like she's like the boss, like boots on the ground, more like traditional style agent. And then I'm like the more new school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we really have all the bases covered of like what we're going to do to market the home. Yeah. And it's been cool. Like the contrast of it's really sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been, we really like it. Like I said, it's informal. And as we go over, she's come over as well. Yeah. So we're going to start building like a little team, which I never thought I was wanted to do.
Yeah.
But again, the team will be very informal as well. Like it's
hard because I hate the word team.
Yeah.
Like, even I was sitting down with my crew yesterday, my commercial division, and the guy referenced team business. And I'm like, no. I was like, the comparison I make is, let's pretend that you want to learn how to fish.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll show you how to use a rod. I'll take you to the hole that I know we can catch fish in. We'll fish together. But like, I kind of want you to go find some other spots and then like bring me to a spot and like we can do stuff together. But like, you have enough autonomy that you can go fishing on your own. You don't need to call daddy to go fishing with you every single time. And you end up wanting to keep up with people that are operating at the same level. Like, you just want to be around drivers more than anything else, right?
Totally. Yeah. And that's how I see it too. It's more like, like we want to create this like space where it's like, there's like inclusion and like, it's cool. But then like, I don't want to feel like obligated to, like, I don't want them to feel obligated to me.
I'm thinking of like every sales coach I've ever met. And I can't imagine you ever being in an office and be like, all right, we're doing the hour of power. We're doing this. Yeah. We're doing that. It's just what I see. So the comparison I'll make, because I've used it internally, the culture we're trying to create, which is, I think, similar to where you're going to go, is the mothership with what Rogan did in the comedy world, right?
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm going to put all this money into something, create a space that's safe for you to come in. We're all going to work it out together. It's going to be bumpy, different personalities. We don't always have the same style. Like, we're even competing to a certain degree, but being together is actually going to make us compete at a higher level.
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
It's so crazy. I think about that so much now. Like, when I got into the business, I was like, if I can just make $100,000, I'm set. You know, and it's the mindset. And it's so funny how it changes as you surround yourself
with different people.
With different people, it's like, whoa.
You see what's
like,
possible.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, I know so many people who just like, they've really done nothing. Like, they've just hung around with the same people and they're just not driven.
Yeah.
And it really, like, that really does exist. Like, the people you surround yourself with, like, that's a real thing.
Well, Rob's off camera here too. And like, he's been somebody that coming into the organization is like driving to find things, and like just by proximity it's actually found us in a place where we're like, okay, are we providing
what he needs or giving opportunities. Like, you could be working today, but you're like, I think this is a great opportunity for you two guys to connect, because you're going to go off and do awesome stuff. You two can collaborate. I don't have to be involved. And like, that's the kind of ecosystem that I think it's moving to. Where when I got in the business initially, I remember sitting in my first training class and they're like, here's the script.
Yeah.
DM every Facebook friend you have and tell them, do you know anybody looking to buy or sell real estate? I send a message to three of my good friends and they all make fun of me.
Really?
And they're like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't you, right? And I'm like, I never did it again. I'm like, this isn't me, right?
I did that too. Because how long have you been in the business?
Since 2012.
2012, okay. I was 2016. And even 2016, it was very one size fits all. It's like, you need to do this, this, and this. Yeah. And that's how you're going to be successful, and that's it. And I got told the same thing. I was like, they're like, DM all your Facebook friends. And I remember I DM'd one person. I was like, hey, I just got my license. I can sell your house. And they said, oh, we already have an agent. And I started freaking out. Like, oh my God,
they're never going to write me up. Brand new.
No, I thought they were going to write me up because I thought they were going to tell their agent. And the agent
was trying to poach them. Yeah.
No one, all they teach you in the school is how not to get sued.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't poach. And I thought I was poaching.
Yeah.
I was horrified, mortified. So
yeah,
it's funny.
And then you realize you get in the business and like, I'm seasoned agents calling my clients like,
oh,
the day a listing expires, even though we're going to renew it. And then my clients send me the screenshots and you're like, all right, what it is, what
yeah,
it is,
you're right? Just like a shitty person.
I'm seeing a pattern though, the same thing now with the amount of people that are selling new agents courses on content creation for the wrong reasons, right? Like, I think authentic content works, but I also think that like, now that's something that you see being trained at from a brokerage level from people that don't actually do it.
Oh my God.
Like telling, it's the same thing. It's the Facebook message to your friends of today is, you got to get on video. You got to do this. You got to do that.
There's so many speakers I'll go see and I'll be like, what are you talking about? Because what they do is they pick a bunch of headlines and they just blend all those headlines together and they have this keynote, but they they get on TikTok.
Yeah.
But there's no substance or reasoning why and what you can do to build a real business on TikTok. It's get on TikTok and these are the things that are trending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now what? Like, I can't stand that shit. There's so many people like doing masterminds now, like you said. It's just like, you have no, you should not be doing this.
There's a lack of substance. I think with the shift in the market, there's also agents that are looking for the easy button. And it's longevity, right? Like, same thing with your content. You're going to tell us later about your backstory a little bit in the first video you ever shot.
Yeah.
I want to see that spot you said that you take us to. But, like, if anything, the one thing I learned with your content over the years is this constant, like, consistent application for you to just better the last video that you did, right? Like, you did the first video and maybe it didn't pop, and then you did another one and then you got a little bit of attention, or this came and then you always kept refining it, but I've always pointed to you as an example of like, you're authentically yourself versus people that are trying to be a Matt Leonetti out there, right?
Totally. And it takes a while, because like, when I first started doing that, I thought, oh, I just need to be funny all the time. So had I done this interview when I first started, I'd just be trying to hit jokes every time. And it's like, well, no, that's part of me.
Yeah.
This is also part of me where I'm just like chilling, and if the opportunity arises for like a funny moment, it happened. But it's, you know, it's like, you have to learn that about yourself. And it's funny about like, because another thing with these fake gurus is they're like, oh, you got to get on camera and just be yourself. And it's like, well, yourself goes away when that red dot turns
100%,
on, you know, completely. Like I know some of the best people and they get in front of a camera. It's like, who the fuck
completely sees up. Shocking, right?
Like, it's insane.
I threw him on my podcast.
Jeez. Damn.
Yeah.
But you look like a movie star too. What the hell do you have to worry about?
I brought him on our podcast. A couple times I've just been like, hey, just do this, right? And so I run a room with Glenda Baker still on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. And he was always there. And I'm like, dude, like, you're an intelligent guy. You're well-spoken. I'm like, come up and ask that question that you wanted to ask. And he came up and he asked. And it's funny because after you said that you were, you know, making pancake, there were kids around, you know, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. He's like, you're like, I didn't feel ready. Like, it almost felt like you have to go in a room, make sure the audio is perfect, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, then you would have never done it and you wouldn't have had the opportunity to actually have that conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And I think this whole conversation about brokerages training people just get on video without actually understanding that, like, I need to see you. It's great that you're on video, but like,
yeah,
I want to know about your wife. I actually love the fact that you guys come shopping here on the weekends and that there's more to Matt and Eddie than just the funny stuff.
Right. Yeah. And some people need to figure that out. And like, there's bits of their personality that they can like really bring to the forefront. Like, I've always been that kind of like, I like to make jokes, and like, that was just something that I gravitated towards. But that doesn't mean that everyone has to be funny on camera. And like, I see a lot of this like funny, and I feel like Eric the Broke Agent is mostly to blame for all the shitty content now.
But that is his personality. Like, as long as I've known Eric, dude, like, he's so dry.
He's the best.
But it's him.
And he created monsters in this industry because he does it at such. People don't understand how smart Eric is, how strategic Eric is, and how hard it is to do what he's done for 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, so now you get all this like funny content. I say that very
well. Meme pages, right? And you know, he's the GOAT in terms of that. And I think he created a bunch of people that are chasing trying to be like him because it creates some virality. And you know, some of them are good, some of them are not so great. But I think she even engaged with him talking about how authentic it is to who he is, and that he actually does it at an incredibly high level.
Yeah.
Has now created a media company that rivals some of the biggest ones. Like, I did Tom Story's course yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm on it, and I can be on any platform I want.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that the content's good.
Yeah. Right?
But it's
Yeah, it's super interesting because people now, they just want to become, and I know it's kind of like funny to hear someone like me say, but it's like they just want to be like famous and go viral. And it's like, and I get it to a point. Like, when I started like getting a couple, like some good views and stuff, it was like that dopamine hit.
For sure, it's real.
Is real, but it goes away so fast.
Yeah,
so fast. Like, when I post something now, I'm like, how am I starting conversations? Am I staying top of mind? And like, those are the things I'm thinking of. I don't give a fuck what the views are.
Yeah,
like, it's nice when something pops off. Like, that's really cool. Sure. But like, how many conversations am I starting? And when I had that mental switch, it's like, I just need to start conversations. That's it.
Yeah.
That's literally it. And like, show my personality. And my personality and your personality is going to be different. And we're going to have different people gravitate towards us.
Always.
Like, and it's just like things I find, like, I love knowing shit about people, just random stuff. Like, your favorite song. So whatever your favorite song is, whatever my favorite song is.
Wish You Were Here by Incubus.
Wish You Were by Incubus.
That would be a
mine's
song.
Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay. That's a really good song.
Great song.
Yeah.
But we're going to get two complete, like, someone is going to hear yours and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You have a connection now.
100%.
Vice versa with me.
Yeah.
And those are two different people. And it's like, you don't have to get both of them.
Yeah.
Focus on the people that, you know, I spent 3 years trying to just,
make everyone
happy.
For sure.
And it's like, you know, and I was being this shelled up version of myself, and it was bullshit.
Yeah.
It was literally bullshit.
But I think that's the discovery process too, right? Like, it's almost like you try everything and then you refine the best of, and then look at, okay, well, what do I want to strive towards now?
Yeah.
And then it's a shedding process, right? And it's, you talk about, you know, you wouldn't have found your people without finding all the people and going through that process. And you make the comparison of like, somebody likes the song Iris, chooses you. Somebody likes Incubus, chooses me. What's really cool is, because we've created an ecosystem, if all of a sudden the person that likes Incubus called me and they're actually in Bowmanville, now I call you, and then you get that client and Iris comes to me, because it's like, it's the synergies of realizing that it's much more than transactional. Because one thing I was struggling with for a while was, I've been doing short form content for so long that I think it actually hurt my account. Like, I was doing 1 minute long videos since like 2015.
Yeah.
So when I went back, and I haven't taken time to delete them, a lot of them are all over the place in terms of topics. And like, my growth has always been a little bit slower, a little bit kind of steadier. I would get a lot of sign calls and a lot of conversations, but compared to other creators, I'd be like, why am I not seeing the amount of growth as some of the other people? Until I realized most recently, I've seen this on Twitter more than anything, but on TikTok as well. The people that are using fear are getting tons of views. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll have an account with 1,000 followers, get 25K views on post, and TikTok as well. But then I look at the comments and it's all trolls and just people that are probably never going to work with me anyway. So like, it's taken me a long time to get over that and just say, hey, just put out the best content you can, the best videos you can, and connect with good people. When you were in your growth journey, did you ever look at that, or did you ever get caught in the comparison trap?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of trial and error. That's another thing people just don't get. It's like, I didn't just wake up one day and start getting like all these views and these followers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this one worked and then these three didn't. What did I do differently?
Huh.
You know? And it's like,
now was it like how you did the hook or the intro, like little, like the actual tactical thing.
And when I started, I didn't know what a hook was.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know that's what it was. I was like, what did I do? Like, I literally, cause this whole like hook thing, like this is a new phrase.
It's a word,
for sure. You know, like it's a new word. For what we're doing. And so I was just like, I don't know. Like, what
is it? The music? Was it the subject?
Yeah, I had no idea. So it was like a long time. Like, there's so many videos that just kind of like I thought were amazing and they just didn't do anything. And then the thing that really started changing was when I did those car rants.
Yeah.
People just started.
Oh, dude, those are amazing. Yeah.
They just started loving those because I don't cut them. No. They're a full minute of fast talking.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I talk so fast, and that's, I've learned little tricks along the way. So now I know, like, yeah, let's have a really fun hook right away. So like people are engaged. I ask a question in the description to get people engaged. I talk super, super fast so they can't even understand what I'm saying. So they have to rewatch the video, which doubles my views per person a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it's like little things like that. That it, like, I talk so fucking fast to a fault.
I slow myself down, so I should probably talk as fast as I normally do. Because I actively think, I'm like, Justin, like, it's almost self-deprecating where I'm like, you talk too fast, slow it down.
Yeah. Well, and now I lean into things like, I always use the example, I would be so scared when I started doing videos that like, oh shit, something in the background was wrong or my hair was off. Oh shit, I said that word wrong. And now I lean into that because honestly, some of those trolls, they'll push the video out more. As long as you have a good ratio of balance, like, you don't want all trolls. But like, if you can just get a couple people, 20 people being like, oh, like my wife always says realtor instead of realtor. So in my video, she's like, oh, do you want me to say realtor? I'm like, no, say realtor, because there's going to be a bunch of fucking...
crazy.
Sure. Oh, she doesn't even know how to pronounce the word. And like, I'm like, thanks, guys. Like,
those guys are fine, right?
Yeah.
And like, who was it? It was Jeremy Knight that told me, he's like, just say thank you. Just say thank you. He's like, don't even engage. Yeah. Don't get into a negative conversation. Just say thank you. Because it does help the algorithm quite a bit.
Yeah.
And some people you can't. It's the ones that are like... The ones that get me are the faceless accounts on Twitter that are... economic experts that 6 months ago were crypto experts, that 6 months before that were weed experts. That
it's just, so annoying. Wild. Like, oh, I'd never use a realtor to sell my house. Like, you don't have a fucking house. You live in your mom's basement. So who cares?
Or I saw one last night where they're like, I own three houses, bought them all without a realtor. In my, like, instantly, I'm like, you don't own a single
There's
house.
No way.
There's no way you There's own three no houses.
Because people, like, I don't know. Like, think about how... And it, you almost feel sorry for them. Like, think about how kind of low you have to be to, like, do those things. Like, I've never commented something negative. I don't care how bad I think the video is. I would never go out of my way to, you know, because that's someone's learning curve. Like, that's someone learning right there. And, like, it's better than not doing anything.
If you're, like, genuinely... concern, send them a DM.
Yeah.
Like, and I would always respond to people and like get into conversations. And then when I realized, like, I wasn't on Twitter until last year, and then I dumped all my followers, started rebuilding from the ground up, and I only stuck with real estate, commercial real estate, media, and it's done really well for me now. But a couple times I got sucked into conversations before I realized they weren't conversations.
Yeah.
Like, I would respond genuinely, like, we're talking now.
Yeah.
And then it would degrade into this other thing. And I'm like, oh, you're not actually here to talk to me. Like, you're talking at me. Here's my cell number. If you want to call me, call me. If not, block. We're done. Right.
I know. So. I know. It's a fine line. It's a fine line because sometimes I do feel like I want to DM someone, but I also don't want to feel like I'm some
better than
higher power of like, oh, my opinion matters. Because at the end of the day, my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. If I say you cannot do that for content, what do I know at the end of the day? That might work perfect for them. There has been some things that I've seen that are kind of just like, they're just offbeat. And it's like,
what are some offbeat things? Just talk generality. I'd be just curious for my own content.
Like, I don't like when people like sexualize things too much. Like, I don't like that kind of stuff. Like,
Matt Campoli's had his shirt off in like every post.
I tell him every time I see him, like, it's fucking insane. I can't even believe.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You can grade cheese on those abs. It's insane.
No, I get it. I understand what you mean.
It's just like stuff like that where I just think it's almost like gross. I don't love toilet humor.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that's very low level. There's been a couple things I've seen.
Well, it's like even artists and musicians, I've heard this before, comedians talk about it as well. I don't use profanity. That's my own personal belief because of who I am.
Yeah.
You do your thing and I respect you for it because we're all very different. But you do it in such a way where it punctuates,
mm-hmm.
where some comedians or musicians use it as a crutch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They use it so much that it loses its effectiveness. It's just language, right? And how people use language is different.
And I'm actually super conscious about the way I use it because it can ruin a video so fast.
Yeah.
If you over, because sometimes I do, like I get in these like rants and I like say fuck like four times. And I'm like, I can't, that's not good. Like it takes away. A nicely placed F-bomb.
Yeah.
Can.
Gary Vee's a great guy. Like, because I remember watching him come up and like he was off the chain with it. And then he realized its effectiveness placed in the right place.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the difference, whether it's music or speech or comedy or anything, right?
And there's also a way to say it. Like, I've heard, it's funny because I'll see some people drop it, like a realtor, and even I'll be like,
it comes off
cringy. Like it's harsh and edgy. Yeah. I always feel like I kind of roll it like a comma in between. It's never the end of like a, and really like, I don't know. It's like more of a comma for me where I'll just say it in between because that's just how my brain goes.
Well, I've heard other agents doing stuff like that in videos and it's like, it feels like mom or dad just slapped mom at dinner. You're just like, what just happened? Like you're in the middle of a video and doing something. And it's just, it's an indication of personality sometimes.
Yeah.
The way that it's actually delivered, right?
And I have people who, I surround myself with people who will tell me real opinions.
Yeah.
So like when I see something like that, I'll send it to like Eric.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I come across like this? Because I don't want to come across like this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like a really nice person. I'm like I'm kind and I'm generous. And I don't want to be seen as some like...
It's important. Like, you know? I'll make a parallel to things that we do from a team perspective. And like, you know, when I'm giving direction or vision as to, hey guys, this is where we're going. Just want to make sure we're all in alignment, whatever. I'll audit team members after and call them and be like, that message hit, like, was it delivered okay? Like, did I sound angry or did I sound like too firm? Or do you guys understand like where our hearts are coming from? Because that's the hardest part to translate. And having a good crew of people around you that you can ask those questions to makes all the difference in the world.
Again, I've seen those videos where they're not high level and they're not good videos and 100 comments. Oh, this is so great. It's like, it's not though. You're doing them a disservice.
Yeah.
Like you really are. Like it's like, I get you have to like pump them up a little bit, but it's not a good video, especially the humor stuff. I just find is so people are 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And if you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, it's cringy to me. And I hate parodies. And I know I used to do parodies all the time. Did you see that fucking rap battle? Did you get a glimpse of any of that? Real estate.
Steve and the other guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw it in passing. Yeah. I knew Steve said, oh, I'm getting out of rapping because everybody's giving me a hard time and then something else, but...
I was just like, guys, what are we doing? We're so far in left field right now. Like, I honestly think why my stuff hits more than it doesn't, because some of it doesn't hit still, is the things I'm saying are real life examples. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I'm doing it in a funny manner, but you can only have those experiences if you're in the game.
Sure.
And I think people understand that I have a good understanding of the business mm-hmm. because of the situations I've been in. And I think that's like, people miss out on that whole kind of like background and they're just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm talking about like real experiences that people have had as well and can relate to. And it's like, that, and I'll get agents like, oh my god, that happened to me. It's so, and we start so many conversations like that. And for me, agent referral has been so big.
It's massive, right?
Yeah, I'm sure for you too.
Well, like, I mean 100%. It's like one of our biggest pillars of our business. And I also think like our goals every year have been unchanged. Double personal production, double team production, double referrals sent, double referrals received. Always the same every single year. And the way that we double that is by building bridges and relationships, right? Like we've known each other for years. We haven't seen each other in person that many times.
Yeah.
So this was an easy layup of, hey, let's just get together. But there's no expectation of like, you send me all your referrals now because you were on the show. It's just, this is what I do, this is what you do. And like, if you trust me, great. That's how you build your relationships. Going back to something you just said though, I think a trend that I've seen online, I've talked to you about this before, is look at people's posts that get tons of engagement, that have 100 comments on a post. Ask yourself if you think every one of those engagements watched the post or actually read it, or if it's just an engagement farm or a company that they've hired where they have 10 accounts that they're running and they're just cross-posting on all their accounts, because that's a trend that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And I find that agents are losing trust and consumers lose trust once they realize the patterns of what's actually happening. So to me, 4 comments on my post from real people talking about what I actually posted are more valuable than fist bump, poop emoji, this is great from 100 people or 100 bots, right?
And those are some big agents that are doing that too.
Yep.
And I think that too. And there's certain things that, like for me, because I'm so in this social game now, if I see that, I automatically don't have as much trust. Because why are you hiding? What are you trying to hide here? Like, why do you need to look like you're something you're not? You don't have that many comments. So why are you trying to make it? Even the follower thing is still a real thing. Like,
it is.
People have 100,000 followers and 3 likes on their post. It's like, we can tell now.
I think it's going to come to a head too, though, in the next little bit. Because if you notice the platforms, even YouTube's doing it, they said sub count doesn't matter. Every video you post on YouTube has the ability of going viral.
Yeah.
It's click-through rate and retention. So all they want you to do is keep people on platform and just create really good content, which I'm actually pumped about, because I'm now looking at people that are great writers like Dan Coe and looking at how I don't need to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Just focus on refining. If I have 40,000 people in my world, refine the 20,000 or the 10,000 or the 5,000 or the 1,000 that are going to over index on actually being real parts of the community.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. People don't understand that either. Like they just think, oh, I need to get, how do you get more followers? It's not like just get a good crew. Like you could have like 1,000 people and they could all walk through here on, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and that those 1,000 people for me would be way more beneficial than 50,000 from LA,
Bangladesh.
Yeah. Right. But like, and that's the other thing, like people are like, oh my God, my post only got 30 likes. It's like, put 30 people in a room and see how many people that is. Yeah.
And if you actually look, like, also ask yourself how much you're engaging with those people.
Yeah.
So like Instagram's got this pretty cool feature. If you go to people that you're following, because I've been cleaning up all my profiles, it says least interacted with. So it will tell you, here's 50 accounts today that you can unfollow that are people you don't really interact with.
Yeah.
But then as I go down the list, I see names of people that are like friends, like we're friends. And I actually can click on their photo and then send them a message, engage with them, and then they disappear from that list.
Yeah.
So now I can re-engage with people that like I didn't do a good job being a good friend with, and then like give to get on that aspect. Because then all of a sudden I'm back in their Instagram algorithm and it keeps us in tune with each other, right?
Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, like this whole social game, it's just a tool. It's not like a...
It's not the be all end all.
No, and neither is cold calling or like... It's all just a tool.
Open houses, door knocking, mailers. Yeah. It's all a tool.
You just utilize it all. You find what you're best at, because that's another thing. You could be working really hard at something you're just not good at.
Yeah.
And like you need to be putting your hard work in the right places. That's something else I realized. Like, you know, cold calling, I did it for like 1.5, 2 years. And I would do it for hours a day. And I think I got 1 listing from it. Like I could not do it. Like, and I'm sure if I've, you know, kept going, maybe I would convert more. But like as that was happening, the social was happening, then I was saying, well, if I put more time into this, this is actually converting.
Yeah.
So why don't I put more time here?
Well, and it's interesting because Kyle from our team, one of the best cold callers on the planet, loves it. Like
we'll
sit there and hammer out calls and have fun. Doesn't really like social media that much. And so it's like you kind of have to find your lane that you want to play in, right?
Yeah. That's just it. And everyone would think like, oh, you're so good on camera, you're probably good at cold call. Like, no, I don't like it at all. Like, it doesn't
work. Well, you're like me. You probably, like, every person you call, you're like, we can be friends. And then when you get not a great response, you're like, oh, it kind of hurts.
Yeah. Or I just talk too much. Yeah. I talk for, like, 30 minutes and nothing happens.
Yeah. Next thing I know, I'm like telling about my hip replacement and they call my doctor and do this, 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 right? Let's go talk real estate. You want to go tour around a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Got you. All over the door.
You did a good pull too.
It's good. That, keep in the video. On the platform side of things, going back to what we were talking about, reach wise, like when you partner on a listing or you go to like a luxury client's house, how do you translate what your platform actually does for them in terms of like reach to buyers?
Yeah, I show the analytics. Like there's some real, like when you actually, it's one thing to say it, mm-hmm. but when you actually show them, it's different and you see the difference, because you know the way we word it is like, listen, we're trying to get the most eyes on your property.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to do that. And I say it's not always like, it might not always be a buyer, but it's like, it's just another opportunity.
Yeah.
Like more so than we'd have if we didn't do this.
100%.
And people will always ask, like, how do you get people to agree to do those videos? And it's just, A, they don't have to if they don't want to.
Yeah.
But once
do you give them the script ahead of time? Like, are you telling them, hey, this is what the concept is?
Depends on the person.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
If you feel like
they should know. Like that $14 million one, they absolutely had the script and knew everything. But like that Mario one I just did.
You knew them well enough.
They were just, I didn't even really know them, but they were like, they'd seen my stuff.
They wanted
a video.
Yeah.
And they were like, do whatever you want. And I was like, okay. And sometimes I did a Tony Hawk one as well, which was the same thing.
That was actually a good one. You select the characters and
yeah,
that was fun because it actually brought me back to playing Tony Hawk.
Yeah, that was the idea behind that was like, you know, it's specific buyer for that building. I knew it was going to be like someone around my age and hit on that nostalgia for someone around my age. That'd be cool. And that one.
So you actually go that far into looking at the demographics of who you think's going to buy the house and then target that actual
person. Not always, but absolutely. Like if that's a play. Like the Mario one, I didn't so much do that, but I thought, okay, it's Halloween. Everyone kind of knows Mario, regardless of your age. It's been around so long. So I just thought that was just fun. And you can't really get away with that other than Halloween.
Yeah.
So I was like, you can be kind of way dumber around Halloween.
You can. I think you can get away with it. But
yeah, I'm not so big into, like, it's funny because the video that kind of like changed everything for me, which we're gonna drive down there, the Freddie Mercury video, I'm not so much into like dressing up or becoming a character anymore. I just think it's a lot. Even at the time when I did that Freddie Mercury video, I was like, this is really dumb. Like I almost didn't post it at all.
So what was the inception of the video?
It actually goes way back, which is funny. I was at breakfast way before real estate with my then girlfriend, now wife, and we were just at the diner we always went to for breakfast, and my wife was about to go back to school, and we were just having breakfast, and the waitress like took our order and then was like, Freddie, hey Freddie. And I was like, who keeps saying Freddie? And then she came up to me and she was like, has anyone ever told you look like Freddie Mercury? And Freddie Mercury's, that's the first line in the video.
Yeah.
And he's like my favorite, and I was like, no, but I take that as like a huge compliment, thank you. And that always weirdly stuck with me.
That's funny.
And then I had bought these guys this house that they were in, and like months later I was like oh, it'd be funny if I did that. And then I called them, I was like, hey, can I do this like weird video in your house?
And was this the waitress?
No, this was just like the people I bought the house for. Yeah, the waitress I've never seen again.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, come on. Like, I was friends with them before. And they let me do it. My friend Matt was in the video. He's the other person in the video. And we did it. And I was like, this is really dumb. It cost me $300, $150 for the video, and $150 for the outfit.
That's funny.
Because I couldn't find a studded belt anywhere. And yeah, it was funny. And like, we just did it, and I was like, oh, this is really dumb. I don't know. And then I just decided to post it, and that's when everything.
So what year was this?
2019.
And you posted it on YouTube or Instagram?
Instagram. 2020. So 2019, I started doing videos, summer of 2019.
Yeah.
And that's when I did my first like funny listing video. And that got traction. That sold. That's still my quickest on market sale of 5 hours.
Do you remember the analytics from that video? Like what the reach was like? Or?
Not the exact reach, but I remember it was by far the most engagement I'd ever gotten on a video.
And comments just blowing up like crazy.
Yeah. And I had like 800 or 900 followers at the time.
Oh, wow.
So it was like really big deal. And then it actually got a couple months later, got picked up by actually agents. The other meme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was that.
And then they reposted it?
They reposted it like kind of after probably 6 or 7 months later, mm-hmm. and it kind of re-blew up.
Interesting.
And then, or no, they posted actually before that Freddie Mercury video. And then February 2020 is when I did the Freddie Mercury video. And that's when everything changed because that's when it like went mini viral at the time.
Yeah.
And then the next morning I woke up and went to Facebook because I cross-promoted on both. And I saw a comment and it said, love this. And the comment was from Ryan.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he was the reason I got into the business. And I was blown away. Like, I couldn't even. I was freaking out. And then, like, Kyle and the team did, like, a write-up on it for the Sell Like Sirhan.
Yeah, I remember when that happened too, right? So, I forget where your name popped up first, because I knew you before it came out on the Sirhan thing, but it was like two of my worlds colliding where that popped up at the same time, and they were like, yeah, Matt Leonetti, you dropped this video, and then they had you on one of our webinars, I think, back in the day.
Yeah, and then I was the agent, so like
Sirhan. Yeah, agent of the month. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and then all that, and then like there was one time Ryan called me and said he loved my videos, and like he reposted some stuff to the stories.
Yeah.
And that's like, I always say, that changed everything, because for two reasons. It gave me like the most confidence ever.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, I'm just like this punk rock skateboarding kid from a small town who has now grabbed the attention of arguably the most influential person in the industry. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. And second, he made it okay for other people to engage.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, it was kind of like, I wasn't the first person to do like funny content, obviously, but like it was way more like few and far between. Like there was not a lot of it, and a lot of people didn't know if they should engage because it's not professional, and they didn't want to, you know, put themselves, you know, with me or see that they're liking my things. And as soon as he started sharing it and liked it, it was like he broke down this like barrier, and that's when I started seeing like real growth.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. He's an interesting cat too, like. I always joke that the perception of what people think of him is very different than who he actually is as a person, because the simplicity of him actually messaging you just like a normal person and just saying or calling you despite how busy he may be is the same feeling I got with him when I met him in 2018, where I didn't want to meet him because I'm like, what's he going to teach me? He's in Manhattan, and like, what's he going to care about some little guy in London, Ontario? Like, I felt kind of less than. Met him at his office, and he gave me like the blueprint. He's like, this is how I recruit my agents, this is how I get my developments, these are my splits. And I'm like, he just literally told me everything. And I got back in the car with Shannon, and I'm like, oh, he's like, he's a normal person. I don't want to pay for this coach. Can we figure out a way to like work with him instead? And whatever. I ended up building a great relationship with him. But he's an actual practitioner, and like that motivation that you described is exactly what I felt, where like it made you feel like you could do what he's done too in your own way, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty, certain effect is a real thing.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like all things, like he was always like a badass agent, but the what he's done with his marketing game and like that stuff is just like so cool to see. And yeah, he's so like, I don't know, like I feel like some people just like get the wrong impression of him.
Well, you get two sides, right? You get people that make the assumption that he is where he is because he was on $1 million listing. And the comparison I always make to people is like, okay, list all the 25 people that have been on all the different $1 million listings. There's four of them that have actually succeeded. Everybody else is just gone, right? And the second piece of it is they think they know what he's doing, or people often talk smack about people that are more successful than them. I've never met anybody who talks smack about somebody they're actually doing better than. Yeah. So I think they look at what he's doing, wishing they could do it. They don't know how, so then they just criticize him instead, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is what it is, but he's like a nice... I was actually, the first time I met him, I was surprised how like normal and just like almost quiet.
Yeah.
Like, because he's such a big personality.
Yep.
And he's just like, you know, you can tell he just like, at the end of the day, he just like wants to do his business and do well, like for his family.
Yeah. So here was the secret. And I had so many people call me over the years being like, I'm going to meet Ryan. Like, what should I ask him? Or what should I prepare? And I'm like, everybody that meets him thinks that the photo op is going to get them business. I'm like, the photo op's the least valuable thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, go to him with a complex problem and give it to him.
Yeah.
And then let him give you some advice and then execute. And then next year come back, show him that you actually did it, and then do it again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he didn't know who I was for probably the first 6 years of our friendship. And like now we're friends, like personal friends, cell phone. Like it's a very different relationship that it started with.
Yeah.
But what you just described is what I would see, is where I'd give him a very simple problem, but he would give me an answer like he was solving it for himself. And then I'd go do my thing, leave him alone, come back. And then like he's in a different place in his life. I got a different set of problems. And like real practitioners, guys like you, when I pick your brain about like your thoughts on content and strategy, as much as you're giving me advice, you're also working out your ideas using me by proxy and be like, okay, I'll tell Justin to do this. And like, maybe I'll see if some of his stuff works and take this and put it into my stuff. Like,
yeah,
you get better by being around other drivers is what I'm trying to say, right?
100%. I mean, like you said earlier, people want that like fast track, like everything's.
Yeah.
So this is Richfield Square.
It's a nice complex.
Yeah. That's not as fun, but that one's nice.
Brand new.
Never sold on that one.
No.
But this is
What would those be worth?
Those ones, that's Curtis. Those would probably be around $859 right now. In the thick of it, like 1-1.
Okay.
Yeah. Like mine right now, we bought ours for $1 million.
Okay.
And in the thick of it was probably like 1-2. And now it's probably like we're a little down, $950.
So if people are watching this in 2024, it's probably like $950. Yeah. 2026, it's like 1.7.
Yeah. 2030, it's $1 billion.
$126. Isn't this funny though? How many times you drive by properties you've sold and like all the emotions of that sale come back to you?
I know, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
That so this was at $126 and
So your friends had bought this house,
yeah,
and you shot the video here. The tracks are behind here, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. Took me like an hour and a half to film.
How'd you prep for it? Did you script it out?
Yeah.
Everything?
All videos I do is completely scripted.
So do you do full treatment, like shot list, exactly what you're going to say?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what room I'm going to say what line in.
Interesting.
Because I don't want to be there too long. Yeah. I don't want to waste the seller or the buyer's time, and I don't want to waste my time.
How long does it take you to script a video?
It depends. Like sometimes like I have the idea just kind of like, you know, rolls out, and then sometimes a little bit more in depth. But like this one was just kind of like there's so many Queen jokes you could do, so I just like I had to like just lie like just I had to take stuff out, like,
yeah
you know. So yeah, it was funny on the way here too. I was just like dressed like Freddie Mercury with the stash, and then Queen came on the radio. It was so funny.
Were you blaring? So you were listening to Queen driving?
If someone saw me, they're probably like, "What the fuck, dude?"
That's amazing.
It's so crazy because like it's not even like, you know, not a special, just a house. Yeah. It's not like some crazy house. That's the other thing. Like, I won't just stay in the middle of the road, but yeah, this neighborhood.
Do you know these people that live there now?
No.
No.
It'd be cool if I just went dressed as Freddy again.
And knocked on the door. So you think it's the same people that bought it from when you sold it?
Yeah, it hasn't sold again.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You should show up once a year, knock on the door.
Yeah. They actually did. They complimented the video.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
You ever have people ask you to take down videos after the sale?
No.
No?
No, never.
I've had a couple over time, just for privacy reasons too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've never had that.
I've had one property that apparently nobody else but me can sell. Sold it twice. It's coming back to me one day, I'm sure. But yeah, I've seen that before too. When a property comes back up for sale and you've already sold it,
have it,
that's not ideal because the price is usually a lot more than the new one is.
Should we go back or should we go?
Yeah, yeah, you can start cruising back.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll throw a couple more of your videos. Like he'll clip your YouTube videos into the actual
video
as well.
So that's interesting because I just find so many people, and like, listen, I'm still trying to figure it out. You're still trying to fit. Like, we're all just always trying to figure out the next stage, you know? That's like what is so fun about it. And people are just, I don't know, I just feel like there's a lot of excuses right now. It kind of pisses me off. I don't have time for it.
Sorry, what do you mean by excuses?
Just like, oh, I can't do that because I don't have the listing.
Oh, whatever.
I can't do that because, oh,
yeah. There's endless content you can make if you actually, but here's the problem with our industry. Is people aren't sure if they actually want to be real estate agents, if they actually want to run a brokerage, if they want to be a coach. Yeah. They don't know if they want to be a YouTuber or a content creator. Like, yeah. I think you have a lot of people that are trying to be everything.
Yeah.
You're a content creator that's an absolute expert at real estate.
Yeah.
And I think you're still somebody that does the craft. And I think you remind me of myself from the capacity that I'll always have a passion for real estate because I get to showcase amazing properties using a craft I love, but I actually like it. Yeah. And I think some people that are trying to do that without actually loving the craft are doing themselves a disservice. Just like, I don't want to be a coach. I don't sell programs. Like, it's not the amount of people that think that that's what I do and I'm a life coach with some of the inspirational stuff I put out. I'm like, no, that's just me just expressing my thoughts in a way that I enjoy, which is YouTube.
Yeah.
Right. But I think there's a lot of people in our industry are lost is what I feel like.
Yeah, they're definitely lost. And like, I just feel like sometimes people play, like they just play up the victim so much where it's like, oh no, I can't do that because I don't have the listing. Well, talk to someone who does have the listing and see, like, that's what I did with Anna for the luxury. You know, it's like, I didn't have a luxury listing, but I leveraged that. And now I just sold like a, you know, 2 million is a big deal around here. Like, yeah. Yeah, and then like you leverage those things. The other thing I hear a lot, like, you know, I'm not a city agent. I don't have the same, you know, I can't do the same things because they're the city agent. They get all the big branding. It's like, I'm not a city agent either. I live in Bowmanville.
Yeah.
You know, like you can make especially with social now.
It's a relationship business. At the end of the day, it's 100% a relationship business.
Yeah.
Somebody said this to me the other day. He's a very big developer. And I was working on a project for him and we were talking about it. And I like to be confident in what we do, right? Yeah. And he was talking about a partnership with another group and, you know, they have their preferred agent who happens to be, you know, that developer's best friend. And I said to my guy, I'm like, oh, we crush him. I'm like, last time I went up against him in the sales, we did this. I'm like, my platform does this. Like, I kind of went into a pitch and he stopped me and he goes, yeah. He's like, I get it. He's like, you're the best agent on the planet. But he said, Justin, even if you were number three, we still would have chosen you because we trust you and you're a friend.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not just about who the best agent is, it's also that as well, right? And I think people should use that as encouragement to like build relationships, get around people. Like, you putting your ego aside to even Anna to build that bridge is not something a lot of agents would do because then they'd be perceived as like, you know, putting themselves a little bit lower in order to get a skill that they don't have, right? So I respect you a lot for that because I never knew that story.
Yeah, a lot of people, and that just happened this year. And like, it's hilarious too, because Anna's been doing this 20 years. She consistently like crushes every year. And it's funny because like, in our clients are so different that like in Anna's client's eyes, you're like, oh, it's so nice you're like helping out this kid. And then in my clients and my followers' eyes, like, oh, it's so nice you're helping out this like agent. Get you know, and it's hilarious see the dynamic there.
But there's a power to the collaboration where you have two very different skill sets that are linked up together. It's funny, my wife and like Shannon and I couldn't be more different in how we look at business.
Yeah.
She's a pure tactician, operator. She's not on social, you can't find her anywhere. I don't think there's anything on her on Instagram. She doesn't have an Instagram account. And I'm sure when we sit down and break it out, this is the exact same conversation, right? It seems a lot of the stuff that I do seems silly to that world, and a lot of what that world seems there's value in both approaches, right?
Yeah.
It's how you stack and layer the skill sets.
100%. I mean, I think people just have to go for it a bit more. Like,
we talk about poo-pooing stuff, right? So like Sirhan and McGilvery, I'm in groups where, you know, I'll see it pop up and be like, oh, they'll rip on the McGilvery Trusted program. And I laugh because I feel like jumping in there and saying the exact same thing as I just said about Ryan, where my relationship with Scott took about 10 years to build. And in the beginning, he probably had no idea who I was. I'm sure there's thirsty people that are just trying to get the photo op and everything too. But at the same token, the agents that sit in those groups disregarding the value of a relationship like that are foregoing quite possibly one of the best opportunities if they were willing to put their ego aside and put in the work to actually develop the relationships, right? So,
yeah, that stuff's funny too. Yeah. Like the people who just want to get that photo op and like use that. And I get, like, to a point, you know, there's some maybe leverage that can be had there. But like, I don't know, at the end of the day, people can kind of see through it.
Yeah, and I've said to both groups, right? Like, I've talked to lots of people that have come in and out. The people that are actual practitioners that last, killers. Like, we will meet in January. Tom Story will be there ahead of a bunch of other killers that like are genuinely want to get around, just like you, right? And then there's other people that came in from the photo op, you know, are expecting everything to just come to them. They don't last. They just go away, or they're on to the next thing, right? So
yeah. I mean, it's
consistency, I think, above everything else.
It's
right?
Yeah. And I switched to reel.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome.
Segway.
Yeah.
So that's been cool. I mean, yeah, it's legit. I called you about it. I called a couple people. Like, I wanted to ask people I really respected in the industry their opinion, and people who I knew wouldn't bullshit me.
I'm the Switzerland of brokerages. We don't recruit, don't care about office counter agent counts. So yeah. I told you what I thought.
That yeah, exactly. And you know, I liked it a lot. I appreciated it a lot. So yeah. It's been cool. And I think that, I don't know, there's like a lot of people get so weird about like switching broker. We were talking about this, like, mm-hmm. It's like almost like a sin.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have to stay with one brokerage for your whole life. And it's like, you just got to go kind of where at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. And that's different for everyone. Like, Real's not going to work for everyone. The agency's not going to work for everyone. Remax isn't going to work. It's all different fits.
So they're so different. I talk about leadership a lot, right? When I talk about brokerages and areas, and people call me for advice, probably more than I would ever have expected. I always tell them, I'm like, you look at the leadership and the ecosystem, because that's what you're buying into, right? And there's seasons of life where if the only reason you're at your brokerage is because you feel like you're being held hostage, and whether that's by the brand recognition, whether that's by the revenue share, by whatever it is, that's not a healthy relationship. Because like, a relationship to me is, I don't need you, you don't need me, we're better together than when we are apart. Mm-hmm. And I think when you called me and we kind of worked through the discussion around it, I think what you're building, it doesn't matter to me if you're with Real or any other brokerage, our relationship's intact. And I think the people that you're going to see over the next little bit are no different than if your friend doesn't sell a house with you and they're not your friend anymore, they were never really your friend.
Oh, I know.
Same thing in the brokerage world, right?
Oh my God.
Oh, it blows my mind.
You see those on Facebook?
Blows my mind.
And then all the people, they're not really your friend. What the fuck do they owe you?
Yeah. It's the amount of business I've gotten from people that burn bridges.
I know.
Or like, say they go another route. Like, I always joke with them. I'm like, I empathize, because I'm like, I would have done a better job because I'm the best. Like, I always be playful about it.
Yeah.
They come back and they're like, you know, when that happened, you were actually really nice to me about it, and I appreciated it, and I want to work with you now because this happened with somebody else, and it was scorched earth. Like, you know, it was like I cheated on them, right? And I'm like, hey, you don't owe me anything. It's just business. I said, our friendship is about more than just a transaction, right? And I think it's the same in the brokerage world. Like, if you leave a brokerage and the broker acts like you're dead to me,
that's horrible.
It's, you know,
it's funny when you see people, and this didn't happen to me. Everyone was super gracious.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you see some people's true colors.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like they never actually valued you at all. Like, they think only they helped you. I'm thinking another way.
People have a twisted sense of narratives that they can create in their own mind in many different situations. And, you know, there's been times in the past too where we've looked at, you know, relationships or partnerships that have ended, and some you do have to put boundaries around because maybe it just wasn't, it's not healthy to maintain certain relationships.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, never in my life, like, we had an employee leave last year and we weren't a fit for him. He doesn't think personal brand matters, but we're still doing business with them. We'd be happy to do business with him and his brother anytime. He's a wonderful guy, has a great brand. We're just not the right ecosystem for him. We're going to be tight for a long time. If you need something, and he's like, hey, dude, I want your opinion on this. My relationship with him hasn't changed. I'm an open book, right? Yeah. And I think that goes a long way. I think in the brokerage world, part of the issue that I see, especially with content creators, and I had talked to Glenda about this and a few other people, is I find that content creators started getting paraded around like zoo animals to serve the purpose of the actual conference or the brokerage. And we're going to bring in all these influencers because then we're going to recruit people based off their platforms.
Yeah.
And it's like treating you like a piece of meat versus an actual partner, right? That's part of it.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy, it's funny how people think. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm very observant. I think that's a reason for a lot of my videos.
Yeah.
A lot of people think I'm complaining. I'm not actually complaining. I'm just observant.
It's
just speaking my mind.
You're explaining human behavior.
Yeah.
It's the Jerry Seinfeld effect. Yeah. Targeted at real estate. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's just, yeah, exactly. Seinfeld, Larry David. We're going a different way back because that fucking construction.
Oh, that's wild.
And that guy honked at me because he's trying to get to the fucking community center.
The blue truck. I saw
Jesus.
That.
Yeah, but yeah, another thing I think people need to like figure out a bit more back to like that authenticity is like there's only every town only has one number one agent. So like if you're basing everything off of numbers, people are just gonna go with the number one agent every time, but clearly there's more weight to it.
Yeah,
like they put more weight into personality or how you actually run a business than actually just being the number one agent. Because if that were the case, like I said, there would only be one agent because everyone would just use the number one person
every single time. Yeah.
So it's like
it's a combination of skill, personality, trust, like, and relationship. Back to what I was saying about the developer.
Yeah,
it's a lot of it's earned human capital, right? Where relationships. Again, going back to say the Ryans and the Scotts of the world, and people are like, how do you build a relationship? Never ask them for anything. Like, just be a good human being.
Yeah.
Try and genuinely, I hate the word value just as much as I hate the word team and full service real estate. But truthfully, like, try to solve problems for other people and eventually everything comes back around, right?
Yeah.
And like, if not, you helping them solve their problem probably made you realize something about your own business that then makes you better by proxy. Even if you never develop a relationship, it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so... I get so many DMs, like...
Can I take you to coffee?
that I can't stand. But I'll get so many, like, hey, Matt, can you share this video?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Like, what do you mean? I don't even know who you are.
Logistically, like, how would that work, too? Like, you built a platform.
Yeah.
And, like, is it a listing video they're asking?
Sometimes listening video, sometimes just a funny video they did. So like, and it not even like, sometimes they have the audacity to go, hey, I do some content like you. Here's a video you can share. Oh, actually, one sec. This one's a better video. Share this one.
That's amazing.
Like,
that's amazing.
It's crazy to me.
You should write back and be like, okay, hold on, I'll wait. I didn't know I could do that. So everybody watching and listening to this, make sure you send your videos to Matt Leonetti. He will post them. And then after he posts them, he will get you on his podcast.
Listen, I love, that's an R1 I get all the time. But I love when people send me videos. But I think it's so cool that I have had any kind of like, that they even think they can, like I've had some sort of inspiration or whatever.
That's cool. Like, I think that's cool
that's
too.
Like, so
you
cool.
send me videos that you think are cool because of whatever. Like, that's a real friendship, right? I'd be happy for somebody to just.
Yeah.
He's kill somebody.
Yeah, that's not right.
I thought it was the same guy from before.
Yeah, he's trying to.
So let me call him super quick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Are they back there?
No, I'm sending him to Taylor because Taylor's going to be a little early. early.
Okay.
I'm just gonna grab the GoPros. He's like, don't forget them.
Yeah, I just
I'm very forgetful.
All these GoPros now just in my car. I just keep doing the conversation.
Live stream. Hey guys.
Yeah.
Because you can stream from these things then.
Yeah. No, they're sick. Yeah. No, that's I love when people send me shit. And when they send me stuff that's like cool, I will share it. But as soon as you ask, like, it's I don't like that.
I asked you for that advice a couple weeks ago. Okay. Yeah. It's happening more and more with my podcast. And like, I'm just like, I don't know how to deal with it sometimes. Cause like some of these people were friends, but they'll ask me over and over and over. And I'm just like, if there's a spot, I'll get you in. Like, don't worry. I'll reach out to you. Right. Like just right now with some of the content we're doing, it's got a certain focus. Right. So it's tricky.
Yes. And it's just not a good fit. And like, that comes back to like the friend not using the realtor. Like,
am I your friend?
Yeah, if you're a real friend, like, you get it. Like,
yeah, that's interesting.
I don't, and you can, like, I never asked Eric to share any of my stuff.
Yeah.
Now we collaborate on a bunch of stuff because we're really good friends. Yeah. But, like, early on, I would never ask him, and it was never assumed that he should share my, like, anything like that. And I would never be like that.
You didn't message him once a month, hey, loser, how are you going to share the post?
Yeah. No. Actually, the first thing a lot of people don't know, the first way Eric and I connected was on Instagram, and I just messaged him one day and I just asked. So I guess it was kind of I said, does the broke agent take submissions?
Oh, okay.
And he said, of course.
Yeah.
Send me something.
Interesting. Saves him time, right?
Well, yeah.
Dig stuff up.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I sent him some videos and he's like, these were great.
Yeah.
And then he had this agent spotlight thing that
kind
he was
like
doing.
Kind of like Ryan with the agent of the month, right?
Yeah. And he would post a video, but it was for, like, he charged like $500.
Interesting.
So like I paid him for that. Dan paid him. Dan O'Neill.
Yeah.
Dan Lee from Australia.
Yep.
And Dick Slider from Australia.
Dude, that guy is wild.
Those were the four.
Yeah.
And then after that, we just stayed in touch. And then Eric had reached out because he was doing that. You remember Broke News Network that Eric did? So he did that with Ben Fisher. And he was like, hey, like, we need some funny, like, 10-second clips. Can you do that? And then just, it kept growing. It's like you were saying, like, it's not even, like, go in with genuine intentions. Sure. Don't just go in being like, oh, I'm going to get here if I befriend this person.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's not what it's about. It's like, I genuinely, as much as I say, hate Eric, I love Eric as a person. He's, like, a really good friend. I was at his wedding.
Yeah.
Like,
It's not a codependent relationship,
no.
right?
And I just enjoyed talking to him. And I had no expectations of anything else other than I enjoyed his company and talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how real great connections and partners are made.
Well, because on the other side of that coin is with the people that where it doesn't feel genuine, is you're just waiting for the pitch. You're just waiting for the recruitment email.
Oh, yeah.
You're waiting for the sell or the ask. And it's just like, it feels like it's always lingering, right? And I said that to Shannon the other day, like, we like to throw these little masterminds that are invite only. They're not, we don't publicize them. Mm-hmm. We have a very tight guest list. And somebody came to one once and was like, can I have your email list of everybody that's here? And I'm like, these are insanely high valuable people that, like, I don't even communicate with. Like, I'm not going to pitch to these people after the event. God forbid I give them give the list to you. And then you go to try and recruit these people or whatever, right? I said, I'll burn 40 relationships in the span of like 5 seconds. I said, it's just not what this is about, right?
Yeah, so people don't get that. And that was my biggest issue because I've publicly gone off on rants with like Real.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was one of those companies that were like only based on like, all they want to do is recruit and do all this shit and watch out, buddy.
How about you don't kill us?
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
And then as I started learning more about it, I was like, oh damn, that's not what this is at all. Because I realized, because we're, you know, you're friends with Brad McCallum and we were talking about Bob Tompkins, and I started realizing like none of these people, I've been friends with them for so long and none of these people have ever tried to recruit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because there's some companies that try to recruit me 10 times a week.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, it comes down to the ecosystem and I think the people, right? Like I'm sure there's people at every single brokerage on the planet that are going to have that recruitment or commission breath or whatever that looks like. And there's other ones that won't, but you just got to find your people. And like, no different that if you know, you end up starting Leonetti Incorporated and you left, I'm sure the relationships would still be solid with this people that are really there for you and actually want you to win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing.
There's no hard end to this. This is it.
This is the hard end.
Well, there you have it. Hope you enjoyed seeing behind the scenes from Matt Leonetti's eyes. I was actually really shocked about the area that he lives in and what a community vibe it is. A lot of times when I think of Matt, I think of massive GTA properties, life in the big city. But he actually lives in proximity to a lot of the areas that he has coverage in. I was also really inspired by his partnership with Anna Oliver. She's an absolute pro. If you go follow her on Instagram or all of the platforms, you will see how polished and how just much of an expert she is. And I think the balance of Matt's personality and marketing aptitude and her skill is something that I took a lot away from. So if you're in the real estate industry or if you're in business in general, let us know what your takeaways were from a marketing or sales perspective or anything in general. Again, our platform gives you the ability to connect with our guests, so make sure that you reach out to them. And the last thing that we ask, these episodes are free. We are going to continue funding and shooting them for you. All we ask is that you share this out with one person who you think might bring value. And if you have the time, leave us a review on any of the podcasting platforms. It matters so much, and we'll be drawing at random every month and giving away prizes. Thanks for joining us again. We have 5 more episodes in the chamber. We are shooting 3 more this month. We're always looking for recommendations and guests. You can find me on Instagram at justin.conico. Let us know you were here and excited about the future of Triple E.